The second word on the cross. Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Please be seated. Consider the second word of Jesus on the cross. It is replete with hope and consolation for all truly repentant sinners. Two thieves were crucified with our Savior, one to the right and the other to the left. Both were guilty of many heinous crimes, both deserving of capital punishment. Yet we designate the one a good thief and the other a bad thief, the one a saint and the other a reprobate. A striking example of the cooperation with grace on the one hand and the stubborn rejection of grace on the other. Embittered over his unhappy lot, the bad thief fumed and cursed and defied Jesus to prove his divinity by working a miracle. If thou art the Christ, he blasphemed, save thyself and us. Jesus remained silent. It would have been of no avail to answer the wretched sinner. He had placed himself beyond the pale of redemption. But Dismas, the good thief, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art under the same sentence? And we indeed guilty, for we are receiving what our deeds deserved, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then addressing himself to Jesus, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Turning his thorn-crowned head to the converted robber, the Savior answers, Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The first fruits of the redemption are accomplished. Dismas, the lifelong sinner, is now a saint. He was canonized by Christ himself. His feast is celebrated by the Church annually, April 24th. Grace is God's transcendent gift to man. It supposes all other gifts we receive from our Creator. He lavishes it upon us in superabundance. Daily, in countless ways, it knocks at the door of our heart, seeking entrance. It is present to us when we are moved by an impulse to do good. It is offered to us in prayer, sermons, Holy Mass, Holy Communion, and in the good example of our neighbor. It is the unseen treasure concealed in sickness, poverty, death of a beloved one. In every trial sent us by an all-wise providence, like the good thief, we can correspond with it and permit it to work great wonders in our soul. How the first efficacious grace of conversion came to the good thief, we do not know. It may have been a single glance bestowed on him by our Savior. But we do know that he placed no obstacle in its way. Once grace gained entrance into his soul, it worked a marvelous transformation within him and was succeeded by a host of added graces. We now see the one-time criminal exercise the most heroic virtues under the most trying conditions. He believes with an invincible faith of the martyrs. We see him recognizing Christ, confessing Christ, defending Christ. Although he beholds Christ crucified as a malefactor, he acknowledges him to be the King of Heaven. Hope is there, for with unshaken confidence, he asks his Redeemer to remember him in his kingdom. Love is there, for he reproaches his former companion because of his blasphemies and thus proclaims the innocence of Jesus before the Jews and his hostile executioners. He espouses the cause of Christ bravely and fearlessly when all others desert arise up against the Lord. He becomes a model of deep humility and sincere contrition, for he says, "We are receiving the just punishment for our misdeeds." Truly, his is a miraculous conversion. What was his reward? Paradise, possession of the beatific vision. When? Not on the day of judgment to come, not in the distant future, not after spending a long time in purgatory, but this very day, this very first Good Friday, he will enjoy the bliss of paradise with his Savior. O blessed effects of grace! O blessed mercy and liberality of the compassionate heart of Jesus! When you study the image of our Savior on the cross, you will observe that his sacred thorn-crowned head is turned away from the impenitent thief on his left and is inclined towards the repentant thief Dismas on his right. What an inspiration and encouragement in this gesture of our Lord for all who desire to abandon sin and the maxims and practices of the world. He seems to say, "In this penitent thief, O Christian soul, you have a powerful patron, an ideal model. Should the memory of your sins haunt and discourage you, learn from him how to trust in my infinite mercy. Invoke him with confidence, and he who prized my boundless mercy so highly will obtain mercy for you also. Endeavor earnestly to imitate his fearless faith, his unwavering confidence, his deep humility, his ardent love, his generous profession of my divinity, his sublime patience in suffering. In one point only, you must not imitate him. You must not delay your conversion until the hour of death. In this respect, the good thief can be excused. His life was spent amidst most unfavorable surroundings. You can have no such excuse. Do not postpone to a later date which your eternal welfare demands now. Do you perhaps feel the need of a general confession? Are certain restitutions to be made? Are there dangerous occasions of sin to be given up? Are you enslaved by some shameful habit of unchastity, immoderate indulgence in drink, undue frequentation of taverns, theaters, and other indecent places of amusement? Are you unwilling to forgive injuries fully and with your whole heart? Are scandals to be repaired? Examine your conscience carefully to see if there be anything seriously wrong in your conduct. If so, repent now most sincerely and resolve this moment, here at the foot of the cross, to change your manner of life. Do so without delay. It is not within your power to choose the hour of your death. God alone is creator of life and sole master of death. Will your last hour come when you least expect it? Will you turn a deaf ear to my loving appeal, with the feeble excuse of numerous worldly cares and occupations? Only one thing is necessary. Save your soul. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but suffer the loss of his own soul? Prayer for true conversion and high esteem of grace. Please kneel. O my Savior, thou art truly the good shepherd who goes in search of the lost sheep. As I kneel before the cross and reflect upon the wonderful conversion of the good thief, I begin to understand the consoling words which thou dost speak in thy public life. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. From the earth in its sinful ways, thou dost lift up the wayward criminal to suffer and die with thee upon the cross, and hast chosen him to be the first fruits of thy redemption. No sooner does he return to thee, by corresponding with thy grace, than thou receivest him again as a loving father, opening thy arms to thy prodigal son. Neither dost thou remember any more the multitude or grievousness of his sins. When thou seest in him the goodwill and sincere desire to amend his life, this repentant thief, once an abominable example of evil to so many, becomes through his wonderful conversion a most shining example for all. What joy and happiness must now be his in paradise as he praises the boundless goodness of thy sacred heart in union with all the heavenly court. Alas, how this poor converted thief puts me to shame when I recall thy many graces, which I have boldly resisted or corresponded with so feebly. Daily, hourly, thou hast lavished them upon me. Never on earth shall I know their number, greatness, and variety. They should have made me a great saint, yet I see myself guilty of many sins and ruled by unmortified passion. Had the hapless thief been illuminated with an equal number of graces from his youth, what glorious fruits of holiness would he not have brought forth? But no sinner, be he ever so abandoned, need be discouraged. When he turns to thee with a contrite heart and reflects upon thy infinite mercy, neither will I be disheartened, but trusting in thy mercy and in the powerful intercession of the good thief, I resolve to make up for my mistakes in the past. O my crucified Savior, do thou grant me, a miserable sinner, a grace like to that which thou didst grant him. Cast upon me but one of those gracious looks which will convert me thoroughly. Speak but one of those words of mercy and pardon. Say but the word, and my soul shall be healed. Remember not the sins of my youth, but wash them out in thy precious blood. With my whole heart and soul I am sorry for having offended thee. Create a new heart within me. Give me strength, nevermore, to neglect or abuse thy graces, but in thy liberality, continue to favor me with their riches. I firmly resolve, henceforth, to use them most faithfully. O Mary, filled with the plenitude of grace, assist me with thy powerful intercession. Thou alone art worthy to be heard by thy divine Son. Amen. Please stand. Bruised, derided, cursed, defiled, she beheld her tender child. All with bloody scourges rent, for the sins of his own nation, saw him hanging in desolation, till his spirit forth he sent.